The McElroy brothers are not experts, and their advice should never be followed. Travis insists he's a sexpert, but if there's a degree on his wall, I haven't seen it. Also, this show isn't for kids, which I mention only so the babies out there will know how cool they are for listening. What's up, you cool baby?
One, two, three, four. It's the start of something beautiful. A small acquaintance has blossomed. It's ripened into a precious friendship. I could have never seen what was coming for me. Hangs at the skate park, hangs by the beach. My life, it feels like.
Hello and welcome to My Brother Mean Advice Show for the Modern Era. I'm your oldest brother, Justin McElroy.
Well, my name? Well, it's Travis, a.k.a. Big Dog, a.k.a. Wolf in Sheep's Clothing, a.k.a. Ruff Ruff McElroy.
And I'm... my name's Fredo Cool Jazz. It's a new era, my bim bam, baby. New song, new... new characters, new storylines, new love, new romance.
I feel like going with Fredo is a bold shot, Griffin. Fredo, famously the brother who was the biggest disappointment in Godfather. Of the three brothers, I believe Fredo.
Who's Griffin? I'm Fredo Cool Jazz, and this is a different guy, baby.
Okay.
And we got new music, new characters, new storylines, new places. I've got a new cool T-Bird car.
Ooh.
And that's going to be in a lot of the scenes now. And
Is it like a character all its own?
Yeah, and it takes place in New York City. And that's also kind of a character.
So you just heard our new theme song. It's called My Life is Better With You by Montaigne, who is a very talented artist who you should seek out immediately. We'll love to get her on the show.
It would be cool if we could get her on the show in the next like 28 minutes.
If a question comes along, we'll see.
Yeah, like later this episode.
Yeah, we'll see.
Maybe in the works.
It's wild enough to me that we know somebody who's competing on Eurovision, let alone that we have now worked with somebody and will now be on a weekly basis sort of, played on by somebody who's going to be on Eurovision. Do you think that means we can go to Eurovision?
Ticks. Can we get ticks?
Can we compete?
Will we be able to leave our nation? Is a huge question.
Can America rejoin Europe?
Can we rejoin? Well, bring us back.
Sub in. The UK's out. That's fine. Sub us in, baby.
I mean, if they're including Australia, I'm just saying.
We're ready.
Why not America?
We'll start out by we'll infiltrate some backup dancers. For some of the smaller countries that don't really have a shot.
And I feel like we'd really blend in with, like, say, let me think, maybe like France.
France, yeah, I think we could get it in there and get like experimental with it. And then we'll take off our masks at the end and be like, it's us, America. And we can do it. We can hang out too.
Yeah. And we're building bridges, both figuratively and literally across the Atlantic Ocean?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
We're so cool. Where's that bridge?
Huh? Thank you.
Come on.
Thank you. It's 2021. Let's build a bridge across the ocean or under the ocean. Ooh. This is what I'm saying.
Bridge to Europe. Bridge to Europe. Back to U.S. Drive in your car. You'll go very far. Let's hope it don't collapse.
Actually, it's a walking. It's a walking. It's like one of those ground escalator things. You just kind of stand on it and you start a little life down there, and then like a month and a half later, good evening, governor.
What's that?
Oh, you're on the other side.
Yeah, that means you're on the other side.
And then we can change it to like, oh yeah, under the pond, and that's what we'll say instead of across the pond. It's like, I came under the pond in the tube.
Cool.
And they're like, on the subway? And you're like, no, in the tube. There's a tube. It's about like 3 feet wide and like 6.5 feet tall. It's very tight, very dark.
Do you know there's a special British RSS feed of this show that just has content warnings in front of every episode.
Everyone.
Yeah. Yeah, British accent.
The people in Eurovision who are responsible for Eurovision are going to listen to the last 2.5 minutes of this show and say, damn, not yet. They ain't ready yet to be called
up.
I
feel like in 3 minutes, we started to establish new bonds and broker those new bonds.
Severed them violently.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy. We should build the bridge over the Atlantic Ocean and then set fire to it as we're driving in the last golden spike.
I love it. Hey, can we do our show?
I would love that, actually. That would be fantastic.
That would be cool.
Yeah.
I feel like we haven't done it in a while. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think we answered any questions last week.
Yeah. Did we not?
I don't know. It got rowdy. We talked about
Frasier. This is just going to be a regular one.
Okay.
Oh.
My wife and I had our first baby last year, a girl. She's now 10 months old. My father-in-law bought her a gift, and he's very excited to see her playing with it. Problem is, it's clearly labeled a dog toy.
Oh, yeah.
The tags say to keep it away from babies. He ordered it online, so he may not have noticed this. How do I navigate this without hurting his feelings? I can't tell him that he accidentally bought our daughter a dog toy, but I also don't want her to play with a dog toy.
Well, helicopter parent, am I right?
Yeah,
that's
really.
That's Canine Free in California. I like the ones where they set it up so that there is no writing. There's two things that can happen. Both are bad.
Yeah. So I've lived this. We were killing time at some strip mall somewhere with Henry, and he picked up a dog toy at a Petland. We were just kind of walking around because we thought, hey, maybe he'll look at fish and be distracted for a little bit.
Just for a second.
And he picked up a little squishy dog toy and enjoyed it. And we took a picture and must have posted it online. And then my mother and father-in-law sent that toy for Henry. And he was like, fuck yeah, and started to play with it. And then we looked at the tag later, like, this is kid poison. This dogs love it, kids hate it. kids' bodies hate it, dogs' bodies can withstand it, but don't let a child put this in his mouth.
Whatever you do,
don't do that. So what we did is we immediately took the toy away and we told the parents and we said, hey, this is funny. You got our human child a dog toy. And then we all had a good laugh about it and it was a mistake that was never made again. So really, you gotta say something, but make it fun. Be like, you poisoned my child. That can be fun. And then it's like they're not going to feel bad because it's like a funny joke.
What kind of toy is it? Because if he got her a Nylabone, it might be on purpose. Maybe he's just being really mean.
God, I hate brushing my son's teeth. If I could just toss a Nylabone in there and let that do the work.
Enjoy.
Oh, shit, that would be cool.
The kids don't appreciate, if you've never tried to brush the teeth of a human that does not want their teeth brushed, that is the one. Any place where kids can flex nuts, they absolutely will.
Right.
And this is the one place where kids can absolutely flex nuts on you. And they do every single fucking time.
Yeah. If you ever want to feel powerless, be brushing a kid's teeth and have them bite down on the toothbrush.
You're done.
And you're like, I can't pull on it.
Without marathon man bullshit that's going to have you staring into the mirror for the next 2 hours, like questioning your very soul.
Yeah.
Like, there's no play.
You just let go of it at that point. You're like, all right.
Your teeth fall out. They don't need those teeth anyway.
That's what I'm saying. That's why it's kind of hard.
Teeth.
We took BB to the dentist, you know, when it was time, because we're good parents or whatever. And they're like, you got to start flossing. And all I can think is like, ooh,
I don't
know about all that.
I'll bring her back. You can handle that, my friend.
How often can I bring her in?
Yeah, if we could just chuck a bone in there and let the bone do the brushing.
It's weird that there's not a
child. We got that tech for dogs, but we don't have that tech for toddlers. Hey, science, how's your priorities? Pretty fucking bad, I think, actually.
Thank you. Also, a squeaker inside those things, they'd love that.
I would love that.
I'm just saying that I bought BB a lot of stuffed animals and a lot of stuffed animals, and very few of them have, like, tough tech technology that let them really ragdoll them around to get that squeaker out. I'm just saying, let's keep our kids a little busier and maybe make those chew toys last a little bit longer for the kids, okay?
Yeah. Hey, you want a Yahoo?
Yes, please.
I love that.
This one was sent in by several people. Thank you, everybody.
That's an extremely unhelpful answer, by the way. I just want to
do tell them. I'm telling you, I lived this, and I got through okay, and it's fun. So thank you, everybody who sent this in. It's Yahoo Answers user Natalie who asks, shipping a horse from Canada to Australia. I want to transport my horse from Canada to Australia in a few years. He is a gelding, and at that time will be 4. Is this dangerous to do? Can he get sick for it? How much will it cost about? Has anyone else done this that can give, please give me some information on this? What are some good company that can do this via ship or by air that can give me a quote? And let's go ahead and just say Operation Dumbo Drop Out Loud.
Yeah.
And then okay. We can move on to like more creative waters.
Okay. Operation Dumbo Drop.
You should do
fly him on a plane.
Yeah. Now that that's out of the way, here's the problem. I can think of so many ways to get a horse from Canada to Australia.
Yeah.
If they can be dead.
At the end of it.
Right.
Well, I guess the other way around wouldn't work, would it?
The other way
unless
around
you
doesn't
know
work.
Some like powerful magics.
Unless you kill the horse, ship it left ways over the international date line. It shows up in Australia feeling hale and hearty. No, that would be tomorrow. Fuck.
No.
Still dead. Dead for a day.
It might actually be easier to shoot the horse up into the sky in a rocket, let the Earth rotate underneath it, and then have the rocket come back down.
Oh, cool.
And land in Australia.
If it
that
goes,
might be easier.
And we could really interstellar it and launch it around old Jupiter up in the sky and have it slingshot all the way back. And when it comes back, we have, it's been 10 years on Earth. But for the horse, it's been like 9 years and like 11 months, and it's still a lot of time. It's pretty, you would need to go pretty fast.
How many seats would you have to buy on a plane?
Oh, to go with
the carry-on.
Before
they let you take the horse on.
Yeah, carry-on horse.
For reference.
Yeah.
I once saw a large pit bull.
Yeah.
That was like a rescue animal that had been trained to be like an assistive animal.
Right.
And I would put him at probably 80 pounds.
That's a little horse.
This is what I'm saying. So if we scale that up, that was like one seat, right?
Right.
So a horse is what, like 800 pounds? That's 10 seats.
This is going to be a 4-year-old horse, though. We're not talking about a little foal straight out the gate.
I'm checking the pet travel page on Delta.
Okay. And just control F horse.
Some pets can travel with Delta as a carry-on shipped as very special cargo, depending on their size.
Mm. Okay.
Review the requirements. Okay, I'm checking the guidelines and requirements.
Okay.
Yeah.
There's a section here on inappropriate animal behavior, so all rude dogs need not apply.
Oh, no, okay. Not this. This pony's a real saint. This pony's a fucking gentleman.
One of the inappropriate animal behaviors is barking excessively, not in response to a handler's needs or distress.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Does that dog sense distress? Because if so, I need him to let me in on what the problem is, because we are in an airplane.
This dog's having a chill time, and he's got his favorite tunes playing, and it's nice and cool in here. But he's being extremely loud. Are we 25,000 feet up in the air? And is that uncomfortable for a dog? Yeah, probably.
One of the things that'll get your pet kicked off the plane is relieving themselves in the gate area or cabin.
Oh,
if my dog relieves themselves in the cabin, obviously that's clear. That's absolutely 100%. I'm with you. I agree. I would love to have this dog off the plane too, because it's obviously not working out. What is your plan?
Right.
What's your exfil for my dog?
That's an empty threat. Hey,
yeah,
we're in the middle of the ocean. You gotta pop that door open. Even if you're that serious about it, that's putting others in danger. I'm gonna stare you directly in the eye while Rex pisses and coach.
They no longer allow, as of January 11th, 2021, they no longer allow what are listed here as non-dog service animals. And I think all animals love to think of themselves as non-dogs.
Yeah. But,
so here's what they don't permit. Small mammals or pocket pets, like hedgehogs or sugar gliders.
Okay, that's not a problem.
Chinchillas.
This is a huge mammal, so we're fine so far.
No insects or spiders. And to be fair, I believe I will be the judge of that, because you will never know.
Yeah.
That is up to me. There's no rodents, mice, rats, hamsters. They list out rodents, mice, rats, hamsters, gerbils, guinea pigs. I feel like if I'm planning to bring an animal like that on the plane, I should at least know if it's a rodent or not, right? Yeah. You shouldn't have to specify.
You don't mention chinchillas. Interesting.
Now, they list here amphibians.
Uh-huh.
Birds, obviously, they just get competitive.
Right.
Like that with the plane. Animals improperly cleaned or with a foul odor.
That's right. Fine. This pony's a gentleman. It's going to smell fucking amazing.
So far, we're in the clear.
Yeah, guys, this is looking good so far.
The last one, animals with tusks, horns, or hooves.
E.g.,
goats and pigs.
But
does not specifically list horses, but they do have hooves.
Well, okay. I'm just saying some large sneakers,
They'll
never know.
Well, but they x-rays, so the hooves, hooves come off for like a minute?
Do they regrow like toenails?
Do they come back? And I'm sure, this is a horrible thing to say, I'm sure it hurts, and there's probably some monstrous sort of practice that is being done to horses that is not funny in the least. But this isn't funny. This is serious. We're trying to solve a really serious issue, or else this horse is going to get left behind.
Could the horse hang their hooves out the windows?
Hey.
So then they're not on the plane.
That's good. You could also just bring them to the gate and just be like, please.
Look at his big wet eyes.
Yeah, that animal's got hooves. Ah, fuck, you're right. He does. Oh, well. We can still get on, right?
We're still cool, right?
We're still okay, right?
I can tell you're a pretty cool person who probably likes $100, am I right?
Can you imagine getting to the gate with your hoofless, sneaker-wearing horse that has been through hell, and you are walking up the tarmac, and then the horse lets out a dookie, and you're like, no!
Mr. Chamberlain, you'd rather
have it. We were so close, Mr. Chamberlain! Fuck!
I just want to say, for the record, I think that Lost would have been 25% better if there had been a horse survivor on the island that had been on the plane, the horse lands, and then they just treated it like another. It was like, there's Jack, there's Kate, there's Sawyer, there's horse.
There's Mr. Chamberlain.
There's her, and every time they're like, horse, we got to get off this island. I would love that. Man, I'd be so into that.
Yeah.
It's making me happy thinking about it.
One of the things that they do list, I want to, from the FAQ page, and this doesn't help us necessarily, but I did want to mention it, that they're one of the FAQs is, what if I have a service or support animal in training?
Oh.
And they say that a service animal in training does not meet qualifications for a trained animal. But I do love the idea of pulling up to the gate and be like, listen, I'm going to warn you right up front. This guy's a fucking loose cannon.
Yeah.
He services me for sure, but sometimes he goes too far. And I've asked for his badge and gun repeatedly, but he won't step down.
I actually have two. I have two support animals. One of them very by the book. Uh-huh. He's about 6 months from retirement. He's training this new rookie, but that rookie cannot be controlled. And they butt heads, but you know what? They get the job done, and you're going to be glad they're on this plane.
Yeah, you may need some real service done, but not maybe off book service.
Right.
Service they don't teach in service talk school. Recently, my girlfriend and I moved into a new house where the landlord conveniently already provides the internet. We're both biologists in our late 20s, and today discovered that Safe Search is on through some entirely innocent and work related web searches. How do we ask our landlord to remove Safe Search without him immediately jumping to the conclusion that we want to desecrate his house with filthy, unspeakable pornography? That's from Not So Lewd Lodgers in Leeds, UK. Well, my supposition would be that if you have some sort of Safe Search software enabled, some sort of net nanny, that there's some sort of whitelisting that you could do.
Right.
Which makes me know, I feel like all you have to do is go to your landlord and tell him exactly the nasty URLs that you are going to be exploring.
Yeah. This is tough. Why do
they do this? I understand that it's probably 99.9% of the time not for unspeakable things.
Yeah.
But what about that 0.1%? You don't want to go to them and be like, hey, thanks for letting us look at, like, I don't know, bird genitals or whatever, because we're biologists. But also...
But we actually... I got to tell you, Mark, we accidentally did look at a dick today. And we need you to tighten up the algorithms, Mark. Because this is a Christian household.
That's his deal. His deal is he'll turn off safe search, but if you, it's an honor system.
Yeah,
right?
you
see anything that you're not supposed to, you have to come tell
Mark.
You
let me know, and I'll explain it to you.
Yeah.
I'll make what you saw make sense. I promise I won't leave you alone in this.
This is,
hey,
this...
Mark, I saw some, and they look like adults doing some stuff to each other. I'm like, oh, okay, sit down. I've walked so many tenants through this. Okay, listen, here's some of the sides.
It was the mommy-daddy hug. Do you know what I'm talking about?
You know, Mark.
You know.
Also, our disposal's broken.
The disposal's broken, and I can't get my sights to load where they do the special mommy-daddy hug. Can you come tweak both?
Why are they dancing so hard, Mark? They seem so angry at each other. There's no music.
If you're like there, we're fairly positive that your landlord is able to see your entire internet history, right? If this is the setup, like 100%, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess.
If it's literally like, this sounds like you're connected straight to his Gmail account. So, yes.
You can use it all his logins.
Yeah. You have to go borrow his laptop every time.
The computer is in the dining room that you all share, and your landlord is also your dad.
Yeah.
You can just admit it.
Your dad, Lord.
For complimentary internet access, you just have to come to my place and ask to use my webbook.
Yeah.
And I'll crack it open for you.
My webbook. And it's just a sticker on it that just says the internet on it. When the dad lord lets us use the internet, sometimes we see some sights.
I think you should have a conversation with Mark about whether he keeps the net nanny on his computer.
Yeah.
Because if he's doing that, fair play.
Ask him,
he needs to let you to get to all the nasty corners you need.
Ask him if you can pay extra for the dirty sites in your rental agreement. We'll increase, just like how you have a pet addendum. This is just like, yeah, you can look at whatever you want for an extra $50 a month.
Let me choose that net name three out. Dirty sites on your premium package on internet. That sucks. And I don't think it's legal. I think you should be able to do something about that. I don't know who you complain to. The Better Business Bureau.
Somebody.
I don't know if they do that in the UK, but there has to be an answer to this that we don't know, because it's such a preposterous situation. It shouldn't be happening.
Do you have a 14-year-old nephew who you could ask for like the creative spellings of words that he uses?
Oh yeah.
To like search.
Yeah.
He could probably hook you up. He's got some weird ones.
He's like, have you tried typing in Stiffy? Stiffy sometimes gets through. Stiffies and...
Surprisingly, teats works quite often.
If you type in teats but not cow, sometimes you can get through.
Teats minus cow. Teats. There's a thin crack in the wall.
Oh, hey.
Oh boy!
I want to munch.
Good.
I want to munch. Breaking news at this hour. Another update for the front lines.
Oh no!
Welcome to Munch Squad Chicken Wars, where we bring you the latest and greatest in brand eating as it pertains to these heinous, never-ending chicken sandwich wars that were invited.
So mindless.
Has anyone died yet in the chicken sandwich wars?
Not immediately, but, you know, they certainly are shortening lifespans.
Right.
With these delicious sandwiches. I did try the new McDonald's chicken sandwich, and I have to give it a...
Okay.
Out of... Whoa!
Right.
Mm-hmm.
That's the highest possible rating.
Right.
First, let's check in on Zaxby's. They got a signature sandwich that is prepping for a national launch all across its 909 locations in 17 different states.
Dazzle me.
It's coming, folks.
Dazzle me, Zaxby's.
During a test that they launched in the test market, Zaxby's new signature chicken sandwich exceeded the performance of the existing hand-breaded filet.
Oh, my God.
Ooh.
By 600%.
Whoa.
Is the next sentence? Yeah, so we learned that our old sandwich sucked shit.
So fucking bad.
It was fucking disgusting.
It was actually just a flip-flop with salt on it.
We did not know.
It was so bad. When it comes to portion size, flavor, and quality ingredients, Zaxby's is in it to win it, says Joel Bulger,
yeah. Oh boy.
CMO. while we may not be the largest brand competing in the sandwich war, I'm confident we have the right ingredients to win on taste and make chicken sandwich enthusiasts switch to Zaxby's.
And we'll literally do whatever it takes. You ask it, and we will smooch everyone on Earth till Zaxby's is the most famous. We will kill Colonel Sanders in all his forms.
Yeah.
He can shapeshift, but we'll get him.
We will hunt the Colonel Sanders horcruxes that have kept him. So how are we going to know when the chicken sandwich wars are over?
When we're all dead.
Yeah.
When we're all dead, there's no one left to chew.
Okay.
Back on October 26th, the company fired off the tweet that reignited the chicken sandwich wars. Since then, numerous brands have entered the fray. Zaxby's is actively engaging in the battle of the brands on social media and converting customers daily with the distinctive taste and impressive size of its singular chicken sandwich.
Can I ask you something? I want you to really think. This just popped in my head. What would be the real world ramifications if Zaxby's just one day took to Twitter and with full support of all of their like CEOs and leaders and stuff, just tweeted, Wendy's sucks shit.
Wendy's chicken sandwich sucks shit.
Wendy's has a pretty hyphy Twitter account. They could probably get away with it, honestly. It gets in. Let me finish this release because I've got other news in the front to bring you. Zaxby's commemorated the national rollout with a, quote, buns fired tweet.
Whoa.
And a, quote, basic training TikTok video.
Cool.
Showing employees gearing up for the big day.
Holy shit.
Can you imagine being so, can you imagine being so fucking out of it that you're reading a press release and you're like, a TikTok video. They're really committed to this thing. Prior activations include a military-themed codename generator for brand loyalists.
Awesome!
And chicken-flage uniforms for team members in the front lines.
Get the fuck out.
Let's have fun with the military-industrial complex, baby.
Yeah. That pertains to chicken. Now, yummy. Let's pivot over here. A&W, I know you're a root beer, but you're also a fast food chain. Are you up in the mix? I just want to read you this one quote because they're bringing back cod sliders for Lent. This is how far off the
mark. Oh, they missed it. Oh, no.
And I just wanted to mention it because this absolutely inscrutable quote from A&W. With many of the country's full service restaurants closed or facing dine-in restrictions, A&W is pleased to offer consumers a variety of popular seafood options. Says CEO Kevin Besner.
I'm fucking asleep.
What's the fucking, whether guests enjoy them in our dining rooms that are open or take them home, A&W seafood items are tasty and affordable way to observe Lent.
It does kind of seem like they're like, with many restaurants closed, we've been watching a lot of TV lately. Okay, yes. Now here's a sandwich.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, what the fuck are you talking about?
Zaxby's is over here like, we taught our employees how to build improvised explosive devices. Yeah,
right?
And here's our last update from BurgerFi, a chain I'm not familiar
then
with.
And every time you do this, Justin, where you bring one that nobody's heard of before, it's usually the rowdiest imaginable thing.
It's pretty rowdy. After having nationwide success with the spicy fried chicken sandwich, BurgerFi International is launching a new type of sandwich war.
What?
And this one has to do with burgers.
That's what it says here.
You can't. Well, imagine if in the middle of World War II, someone was like, we're starting World War III. Like, no, let's finish this one first.
Finish it, though.
Yeah. BurgerFi is like, December 7th is a day that will live in infamy, and it is about burgers. So this one's about burgers.
Yeah.
The BurgerFi menu is an array of chef-inspired selections and high-quality Wagyu beef. It was only natural for the premium, fast casual concept to take it to the next level with a one-of-a-kind spicy burger sensation.
Whoa.
The Swag Burger features double Wagyu and a brisket blend burger, charred jalapenos, candy ghost pepper bacon to pack the heat, sweet tomato relish to add a bit of sweet, habanero pepper jack cheese, and hot steak sauce.
So
okay. So I feel like we're in a lot of ingredient territory already, right?
Yeah.
It seems like they're maybe shooting the cannon indoors.
But to BurgerFi's credit, it doesn't make a lot of sense. There's a couple restaurants out there who are so focused on the chicken war, they're not watching their home fronts. You know what I mean? And here comes BurgerFi, sure, like,
we're sneaking in the back.
We're going to fuck you all up. You all so busy worried about chicken. We're here with that beef game.
For the new product, BurgerFi initiated a consumer research study focused on the initial reaction to the product, utilizing its savory description to test the appeal.
Cool.
Do you understand what I just said?
We asked people.
They told people what's on the sandwich and said, "Does that sound good?"
Exactly. We described the sandwich and people told us if they'd eat it or not.
Would y'all like that? Was that good? What if we added one more thing to it?
It says here in the press release, "Do you like it?" Huh? Do you?
Click it, yes or no.
Here's my phone number.
This burger's hot as fuck and it'll melt a hole through the back of your skull. Do you want it?
Yeah.
They conducted a concept test on the flavor, build, product name and price. I would do anything if they're like, okay, what if we called it Dave's Super Smash Burger? That's pretty good. What if instead of four pieces of bacon it had three? I don't know, that seems less good. Okay, noted. Thank you, Justin.
Okay, but Justin, that does kind of make sense as to why it's called the Swag Burger.
Oh yeah, I'm not there yet. Over 2,500 participants were part of the study, with approximately 500 people per concept tested. So what they said is they came up with five different
rad burgers.
The research proved invaluable in determining the selection of Wagyu beef versus Angus beef in the burger. Wow, that's a long way of saying. Let's check in with Paul Griffin, BurgerFi's chief culinary officer, the CCO. BurgerFi's foundation is burgers. Mm-hmm. And because the spicy chicken wars have been part of the cultural conversation over the past few years.
Spicy chicken wars?
They're saying, I think it's because that's the only one they have.
A sub war.
They've picked a little notch of the war that they could carve out for themselves.
Right. Well, it's a war on many fronts. You have the ground war, you have the at sea, you have the spicy.
Got the ground beef war.
Spicy, the grilled war. Yeah.
The chicken wars have been part of the cultural conversation over the past few years. Is that really? I mean, I know you guys talk about it a lot, but I haven't heard a single human being alive reference it.
We've been talking about it a lot, Justin.
Well, in our little corner of culture, which is obviously a biased sample.
Yeah,
but
one where you talk about fast food all the time. This whole thing started as a way to find a new Chick-fil-A that everyone can eat without feeling like dog shit about it. And it started out as something
emotionally.
It started out as something fun. And it started as something virtuous. And everybody was just like all hands on deck. But then it turned into, well, I think Popeyes is the best replacement. Well, I think Zaxby's is the best replacement. And then Popeyes and Zaxby's was like, it's a war, baby. And
we're a war.
It's not. We're having fun while thwarting fucking Chick-fil-A. Can we remember what it's all about? And now other people are talking about it like, no, it's burgers war. Now it's going to be car war.
Now, I will calm down. I will say, Griffin, that there's still some virtue to it. I see a lot of young folks out there. They're, they're recycling their scrap metal. They're turning in their nylons to support the troops out there.
Sure.
Everybody's a part of this effort, Griffin. I won't sit here and let you besmirch the honor of our troops. You know what I mean? And Griffin, I think maybe if you had a little bit more patriotism.
Thank you.
I cared a little bit more about the chicken wars.
Just let me wrap this up, please. Paul Griffin is not done. Paul Griffin could have stopped there, but instead Paul Griffin continued. Once we had the idea of the spicy burger, it was fun to start playing with ingredients and textures.
It was the best day of my life.
It was so fun. This has been actually super fun. The candy ghost pepper bacon is perfect for those guests who are more adventurous. And that mixed with the boldness of Wagyu and the creaminess and the kick of habanero pepper jack cheese, it really rounds out the burger to make it one of the most flavorful menu items at BurgerFi. And you could tell the person like dictating this was just like still nodding. And maybe Paul was like, should I say something else? Or are we okay? That seems like enough. That's good. Yeah, I should
stop
there.
They were dictating this while sitting on the toilet they had been sitting on for the last hour and a half, trying to pass one of these through their system.
But then Julio Ramirez, the BurgerFi CEO, he heard Paul fucking bomb it.
Right.
So he throws open the door. He's like, hold on, let me take this one. The Swag Burger takes our unique Wagyu beef offering featured in our CEO burger and it kicks it up a notch with different textures and flavors that create a daring spiciness with there, each bite.
Is there anyone above the CEO who can kick in another door behind him?
There is no one.
Hey, Julio, it's me. It's me, the owner of BurgerFi, Justin McElroy. I want to tell you about this burger. And that's how we find out the truth.
Creating the spicy burger sensation is another example of how we're redefining the way the world eats burgers.
Okay.
Oh, boy.
BurgerFi will always find ways to continue to grow, pioneer trends, and create iconic offerings as part of our mission to provide the best burger experience.
Okay.
Damn, I could go for a burger.
No, yeah, I get, I mean.
That's the one, that's the terrible part about this segment. Is I always end up extremely hungry.
Yeah, do you know what is going to be the worst outcome for BurgerFi? Is that no one will rise to their challenge. No one will even acknowledge that they have attempted to start a burger war. And if it, and life's just going to go on without BurgerFi sort of being a part of it. And that's going to be embarrassing. They're going to have to get more thirsty with these press releases.
Julio Ramirez was at Burger King for 26 years.
Oh, then he knows what he's doing.
He knows what he's doing.
Oh, yeah. He's stolen.
I bet against him at your fucking peril. Right. He came in October 2020.
Okay.
Are you kidding me? Can you think of a more challenging time to step into these waters?
Right.
Julio doesn't give a shit. Yeah. Anyway, that's a update. Please let me know if you tried different chicken sandwiches. You can just tweet those at Barack Obama and... you know, maybe he would like to know about it, or you could tweet at me if you want. I just always like to try to get people to tweet at Obama because I bet he's lonely right now. He doesn't have anything.
He doesn't have president stuff to do anymore.
Yeah. Do you think he's ever like, Joe, do you need any help?
I could come over there. Joe, can I do president stuff today?
Hey, Joe, I don't want to be a dickhead, Joe, but when I was president, I let you help me with stuff.
Yeah.
So it just doesn't seem like maybe I could come by.
You remember I gave you an office. Maybe give me
I'll let you hang out and help me with different stuff. So maybe you just got some stuff I can do.
The kids have grown up now, Joe.
I did give you that big medal, Joe. Look at it.
Do you remember?
So we're going to take a quick break and then we'll come back with more great content. Mm-hmm. Until then, let's kick it over to the Money Zone.
Stamps are great. You can put them on mail to make the mail go places, and you can collect them and create decks of stamps that you battle against other folks for pink slips.
And there are stamps that last forever.
Sure, yeah. There's stamps that last forever, and then there's holofoil ones.
Yeah.
And there's chase stamps, and those can be fun. But you know what's not fun? Is just going to the post office when you're not feeling like it. Well, stamps.com is going to keep you from having to make such a dreary afternoon of it, because they let you print off postage right there at your freaking computer. You can send letters or packages, and you can pay a lot less with discounted rates from USPS, UPS, and more. So it cuts out a lot of the BS.
Yeah.
I think.
Do you think we'll ever do a stamps.com ad so good that they'll put us on stamps?
Oh, man. We could probably get them to put us on stamps.com. Like a picture of us like having a great time battling our stamps against each other. But I don't know if they would actually put us on the postage itself.
I want to be on the postage. I want to do that. That feels like a cool thing that not everybody gets to do.
Right. Well, gotta be president or go to space and make a big space
discovery.
That's
so much work, though. Can't I just do a really good ad read in the middle of my podcast?
You gotta invent some medicine or go to space and make a space discovery or be the president, Trav.
That's one of those. All right, fine. I will.
They got discounts up to 40% off post office rates and up to 62% off UPS shipping rates. It's a wild deal, and if you ship a lot of stuff, you should, I assume you're already using stamps.com, but if not, correct that mistake. Stop wasting time going to the post office and go to stamps.com instead. There's no risk, and with our promo code, my brother, all one word. You get a special offer that includes a 4-week trial plus free postage, and they stop doing the digital scale. Just kidding. They still definitely do the digital scale. Okay. There's no long-term commitments
you
or contracts.
You freaked me out, you prank master.
I thought I could really Woo! Get one of them.
Hey, Griffin, I shit myself when you cool. said
yeah,
that.
Yeah, Travis shit himself.
I shit, and I'm in a small booth, Griffin.
Yeah.
Now this whole booth smells like shit.
Well, go to stamps.com and click on the microphone at the top of the homepage and type in my brother, all one word. That's stamps.com. Promo code my brother, all one word. Stamps.com. Go to the post office every day. That was another prank. They don't want you to go to
please
the,
don't. Never, please don't.
Please don't go to... Oh, you know what? We never do that. Stamps.com. Go to stamps.com, please. And please? Use the promo code my brother, please.
Please. Speaking of cheating yourself, I want to tell you about Brooklinen.
This is the fastest we've had to do a make good.
Yeah.
This is the fastest.
They're actually monitoring this recording and they've just told us
I just
to start
actually
over.
Went to speedrun.com and said fastest fuck ad fuck up to yeah. require a make good.
Cheat and it was, yourself today with Brooklinen.com. Yeah.
Cool.
They got the best sheet around.
You're not getting too old for this sheet.
No.
This is a perfect age.
This sheet is right up your alley.
Oh, sorry, I'm reading the copy here. It says, please do not make any jokes about how sheet kind of sounds like shit.
Oh, I love my sheet. My sheet don't stink. You know what I mean?
So,
because you wash them.
Because I wash them.
Wow. I'm my just going to start reading the ad copy underneath this and try to get through it fast.
Start over. This is a new ad. No,
okay, that was all disconnected.
Yeah.
Now it's time for the make good.
Holy sheet. Brooklinen's great.
No,
some mornings you wait. What's wrong?
Already.
What's wrong?
I'll do it.
Okay.
Everybody sleeps if they're lucky, and sometimes you gotta upgrade your presentation in bed.
Huh?
You know, I want to start over.
Keep it going. You gotta upgrade your presentation.
We're almost out of tape, Justin. You just gotta go.
Sometimes, if you have ever woken up, that's a sign that your sheets are
good. Oh, wow. Oh, okay.
Brooklinen's sheets are so comfortable that when you sleep in them, you'll die.
If you've ever woken up and not been able to move because some kind of sleep ghost is holding you down, that's because of bad sheets.
Yeah.
Brooklinen sheets aren't bad sheets.
Nope.
It's the first direct-to-consumer bedding company. They work directly with manufacturers to make luxury available directly to you without the luxury level markups.
And they're guaranteed not haunted.
Yeah.
Brooklinen has a variety of sheets, colors, patterns, and materials to fit your needs and tastes, even if that need is to cut two holes for eyes and have a great, easy Halloween costume.
But then that's fake haunted. Let's be clear. That's not a real ghost.
No, they will move without human interaction.
These are not haunted, guaranteed.
Kidding aside, I love these sheets.
Oh, wait, hold on. Sorry. Let me switch gears. Okay. Kidding aside.
Jokes out of the room. Okay. I love these sheets.
They're really good.
I sleep great. And you know what's great? Every time I wash them, which is the normal amount and frequency.
The normal, responsible. Listening. Not too much, not too little.
If you're listening to this, think in your head of what the just about exact average normal amount is, and that's how much I do it.
Yep.
Once a,
they just get softer and softer.
For me, I think it was once a college.
Oh, they got more than sheets, by the way. They got comforters, pillows, towels, even loungewear, and more. Go to brooklinen.com and use promo code my brother to get $25 off when you spend $100 or more, plus free shipping. That's brooklinen.com and enter code my brother to get $25 off when you spend $100 or more, plus free shipping. brooklinen.com and use promo code my brother at checkout.
Brooklinen, that's the good sheet.
I'm not starting over.
No.
We'll get it in post.
That was a different thing. That wasn't the commercial anymore.
Hey, folks, it's me, James Arthur M., host of Minority Corner, your home through these wild times for weekly doses of pop culture, history, news, nerdy stuff, and more through a BIPOC queer and allied lens. I already took you back in time through One Time Machine. We're going back even further.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Ooh, here we go. I'm holding on.
I know it seems scary because now we're in the 1830s.
I know. And we hold on. It's fine.
Continuing along on the White People's Apology Tour, Justin Timberlake.
That is Minority Corner. Like
having those difficult conversations, those necessary conversations.
This is now the moment for white people to be rising up and going, this is our problem.
So join me and some of your new BFFs every Friday here on Maximum Fun to stay informed, empowered, and have some fun. Minority Corner, because together we're the majority.
Hey, here's another question from our dear listeners. I'm a college student and decided to spontaneously bleach my hair at home. It's kind of a disaster. Flash forward to now, I want to get it cut, but I'm absolutely terrified the hairdresser will somehow find a way to yell at me for bleaching my hair at home. What should I do if I get bombarded with guilt from a professional? That's from Son of a Bleach in Ohio.
There is no one in the contiguous United States of America that would know how to answer this question.
I'm scrolling through my U.S. contacts. Yeah, I'm scrolling through my U.S. contacts. I'm fucking coming up empty. Oh, you know who could help? We could reach across the pond and then down through the bigger pond and then slightly.
And across the pond.
Across like a sort of diagonal vertex across many ponds.
Let's just call Australia. I think it's like...
It's like Friday there. What are you talking about?
Yeah, it's Friday, so Shaw already know the answer. Montaigne. Okay, we'll just call Montaigne, who created created the My Brother, My theme song.
Yeah.
Right, that you heard earlier. So let's just call. Hold on.
Don't forget to dial the extra numbers.
Oh, thanks. Now you're saying your great extra number thing. Hold on.
Yeah, it's beep, super boop, long
beep,
distance.
Boop, beep, beep, boop, beep. Beep, 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 beep.
Her phone number halfway makes there. A song, which is kind of amazing.
Beep, 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 beep.
Bring, oh, no, bring. You misdialed. I heard it.
Bring, bring. I didn't. Okay. Bring, bring.
Bring, bring. Hello?
Hey!
Hello, it's Montaigne.
Hi, Montaigne. I'm Montaigne. Justin McElroy. You probably saw that on the caller ID, though.
Actually, yeah, no, sorry. I don't have it saved, but good to know. Thank you.
Oh, well, you can just do that now. I'll wait.
Yeah, I'll do it. Give me a sec. Boop, 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 boop. Boop, 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 boop.
All of our guests do this. Really very, very uncomfortable for me and Travis.
If he asks you about LinkedIn, just hang up.
Do not. Yeah. Thank you so much for answering this, I think, unsolvable paradox for us, and also for writing one real slap in tune.
I believe the kids say it's
a thing. Bop, a slap, a rip.
The first thing I want to say is, jammer. Now that I'm 40, there's literally no good way for me to refer to a piece of music. I mean, like, there's nothing that isn't woefully sort of antiquated or like sweaty beyond all recognition.
Yeah.
That's why I just lean into it at this point and I just say, like, this is a swinging tune.
But I have to hear you say, that.
Oh,
you
understand
the cost, the real human cost. Oh, Montaigne, you have that. Hair.
I have pretty little hair at the moment. I have a buzz cut and it's bleached.
A swing and a miss.
Orange currently. Sorry.
But you've messed around with your hair probably at different times.
I've met people that have hair.
You know others with hair. How do you deal with, you're in a professional setting
listen,
like this.
I know, I just want to say, I know that the conceit is that we needed Montaigne's help on this. I also have dyed hair. I'm just going to say.
No, it's not the same. Montaigne, you're in a professional setting with people. How do you deal? Okay, I'll refigure it for like your experience when you're talking to a nobody like ourselves about music, and you know so much about music.
Yeah,
where are you at with that? Are you in like a judgmental place usually? Are you in a place where you're like wanting to help? Where are you at?
Definitely not. Definitely not judgmental. That is.
Oh, okay.
Music is for everyone, you know, no matter how much knowledge or wisdom is involved, it is, you know, to be shared and loved in whatever way that each individual person wants it to be shared and loved. And I think, like, you guys are good with and love music, I think. So definitely no judgment there at all.
That's very nice. I think that's very pleasant. If you go to a hairdresser with a bad home bleach job, they're not going to be angry at you.
No.
They're going to judge you and feel bad for you. It's going to be, you're going to hear a lot of, oh.
Yeah, to carry the analogy, when I'm sure when Montaigne heard my Rugrats theme song for the show, Montaigne didn't send me an email like, you suck shit. Yeah. Don't do music anymore.
Hey, I genuinely loved the Rugrats cover, quite frankly. I thought it was
cover is
fun.
So nice. Cover just like really stolen
cool way of putting yeah. that.
If you loved it so much, Montaigne, we're gonna need that huge novelty check back that we left on your okay, on your back porch.
No, actually, I'm just throwing it over now.
Just okay. forward that to Class.
Oh,
Supo.
It just hit me.
Oh no.
What's your approach to hair? Do you just feel like you were talking about you keep it very short right now? Is that just like the look you like? Do you experiment a lot? Do you just say like, hey, whatever just sort of entertains you right now? That's what I'm going with. I've had the same haircut since I was six. That's the reason I'm asking.
My approach is fairly impulsive, I'd say. For the Eurovision stuff in particular, I had a very particular aesthetic that I wanted, which was have really short buzz cut hair that is like ultra colorful. So my hair for Eurovision will be quite rainbow and buzz cutted. But like a year ago, my hair was just like natural color, like short, but not buzz cut. And then the year before that was blue and it was quite long. And then the year before that was pink. So just like whatever I feel like, really.
Must be nice.
Keeping everybody's heads on a swivel.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
I made the mistake of having my purple hair become part of our merchandise, and now Justin and Griffin won't let me change it.
You know, you mentioned Eurovision. That's such a coincidence because your Eurovision track. See, even track, like track.
Oh, no.
No, track's fine.
Just
tell
them from my mouth, it turns to ash on my lips.
Yeah.
Technicolor is the name of the song. The video came out today as we're recording this.
I gotta go.
Almost a week ago, as you're listening to it, it's called Technicolor. You can find it on YouTube. I think it's streaming on Spotify. Eurovision, that's massive. Congratulations.
Thank you. It is big in a way that I find rather intimidating.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, my God. I'm like...
No, not really every that other... it's big. I know it's big.
You seem
so cool and confident. Yeah.
I think I mostly am. I think every, like... other week my anxiety will start to like build up there a little bit just because like there's a lot. I think the issue is that there's this enormous compression of like time and the number of things that we can get done in a certain number of time, and you want to do things well, and when you don't have time it's hard to do that in a way that is like foolproof. So that's been a bit of a stressor.
Hey,
but
thanks for wasting time on our song then.
Absolutely not. Honest to God, literally a dream come true.
We're gonna talk about that in just 1 second. I want to talk about Technicolor for one more second because it is so fucking good. And if you go listen to it, you're going to listen to it on repeat. Everybody on our staff has been listening to it literally constantly, sharing the video around. We are in love with it. I want to ask you, I was watching the performance video today. Did you wish at any point while you have been recording this and do you ever wish you put fewer notes in it? Because, man, you got to sing a lot of notes. Did you have a moment where you're in front of like a bajillion people on a massive stage where you're like, God, I put a lot of notes in this motherfucker?
Should have been five notes.
Not five, but certainly not this many. It's a lot.
Honestly, there is very little time to breathe in the song, which is quite difficult because we have organized choreography for it as well. I think like all of it is manageable if I stand still.
Okay.
But I've opted not to.
Which country are you most gunning for?
Yeah.
What's
who
the
you
country
taking?
You're like,
yeah.
I don't know if you guys paid any attention to Eurovision last year, but Iceland put forward the most ripping,
absolutely fantastic. God, it makes me mad how good it is. Do you know how many times I've listened to this fucking song?
It's amazing. And the video and the conceit, like, it's about his unborn or, like, too little to have any consciousness kid who's wondering about the thoughts of. And it's just, like, so sweet. And the video is so funny. It's just, he's amazing. I'm actually a huge fan of him.
So you're going to crush him, right?
You guys heard this song. You guys heard this song, right? Here, I want to play you 5 seconds of the song. I'm allowed to because it's Eurovision. I don't care. Just be quiet for a second.
I can't wait to know. What do you think about things? Believe it. I will always be there, so you can tell me anything and I'll listen.
Fair use. That's the end of fair use. That was too much.
All right, it's unbelievable.
We didn't fair use it.
But you're going to beat their asses.
Yeah.
Maybe. We'll see.
Beat them all the way back to Iceland. Hey, let's talk about the My Brother and Me theme song, which I guess is not going to be called that. That would be a wild thing to see on a CD. Back with CD.
I titled it in the file I sent to you, My Life, and then in brackets, Is Better With You, !
Theme from My Brother and Me.
Yeah. Yes, exactly.
Love theme.
Exactly.
My brother, we can
work on that. We can Sufjan it up a bit and just be like, and then in brackets, just be like, a fateful occurrence on the shores of the great wide Mississippi.
Exactly.
Something or other. Yeah.
What is amazing about your song is we had a very, I mean, it couldn't have been a more abstract brief that we slid across your proverbial desk.
I didn't find it abstract at all, actually. I thought it was really clear.
Oh, well, good. That's good to hear. But you really, I mean, we told you sort of kind of what we were in the market for. And it's like you reach into our brains and found a song that somehow fulfilled all of it without us being able to like actually articulate any of that. So how'd you do that, I guess, is my question. What's your secret?
I mean, I am your demo. Like, I was already a listener of the show for, like, a few years. And, I'm into comedy and stand-up, and my partner writes funny things. And I don't know. Yeah, I guess, like, that's already a genre and a type of music that I'm familiar with and amenable to and enjoy making a lot. And also, like, there's a bit of a 2000s revival happening, right? And, like, based on the brief, I imagined was a kind of like high school coming of age, like comedy film where it's like incredibly corny but very like, instead of being about awful boys who do terrible things in high school, it was going to be about like these two friends who like meet each other and they just genuinely, oh, hello, my cat Captain Poodles has just walked into my
house. Such a good ass name.
Yeah. It was just going to be about like two wholesome friends who like meet each other, enjoy each other's company, and then realize like, oh, this is really great and my life is nice. And I thought that fit the vibe of the show.
Oh, yeah. It's great.
But who's the friend? Who's the friends? And I get if we're going to.
Two misc people. Oh, if you want a story, I can make
need
a story.
No. Because I want this to be like the Who's the Me and My Brother and Me. We need more mystique around our show. At this point, we've given so much away.
We need to take a little back. The first time I thought about it, listen to the song, and this is so, I don't know, this is perhaps overly maudlin, but really exemplifies the way that, not how I think about my brothers really at all, but that's kind of a zero sum, but how I think about our listeners, like the people who listen to the show. Like, it really captures the exuberance I have for like making stuff for them. And because of the pandemic, like the extent to which I have missed seeing people that like listen to our stuff and meeting our listeners who are kind of like an extended family for us, like it really captured that sense I have, like kind of a little bit of the bittersweet part of like missing seeing them in person and doing shows for them, but also like how much they have improved our life just by listening to our stuff.
Absolutely.
It really captured that energy for me.
I didn't get that at all.
Cool. That's all right. That's music for you though, huh?
It made me miss going to the movies. You know what I mean? Like,
but why'd you have to cut out my rap verse?
Yeah. Let's talk about the third and fourth and fifth verses that we wrote for the song that you did not include.
You know what, Griffin? We'll include it now, Griffin, if you just want to do it.
Yeah. Well, the problem is, in the note that I got back from Montana, and I thought it was fair, and I didn't have an answer to it, is she said, this is mostly numbers. And I said, you're right. I said, I guess you have a good point there. I hadn't thought about it, is that this verse is it's more numbers than words. And it is basically a math equation. Mm-hmm. And you said that doesn't match the vibe. And I took that very personally.
Yeah. I'm sorry, but there's sometimes the truth hurts. And you just got to live with it and grow strong and move on, you know?
Do you think it's weird, Montaigne, that your song Technicolor includes the line, "Yeah, I promise you, yes, all you nasty dudes," and that's not in our song. Because it seems weird that that one's not in our song. It seems impossible that you wrote that lyric, but it's not part of our song.
Again, it didn't feel like it fit the vibe of the song, but again, if we do a remix, then I'm happy to splice the two and make a Technicolor Mbim Bam theme mashup.
I want to do a remix of the song that's just the song exactly as it is, but it includes clips from the show interspersed like they do on like Batman. The Michael Keaton come in like, "I've got to go to work."
When was the last time you all watched the Kiss from a Rose music video? Because it's just shots from the movie interspersed with Seal like standing next to like a floodlight.
And it's all lit the same as the movie clips.
Yeah.
It's like Seal is on a, "I'm on an adjacent rooftop. I'm watching Batman and Nicole Kidman." Montaigne, what's next for you? Obviously very focused on Eurovision. That's going to be this spring. And then what's after that?
Maybe album 3, I guess. Last year I made a lot of music with the same guy who did the theme song and who did the Eurovision song. And I think it's probably adding up to a third album, which I'm excited about.
Who is that?
His name's Dave Hammer.
Dave Hammer?
Yeah, he's a Kiwi guy.
His name's Dave Hammer, and you waited till now to mention it? Hello?
His name is Dave Hammer. Well, his real name is David Haddad, but his former official sort of name is Dave Hammer.
They're both great names.
His real name is Dr. Smashenstein.
But yeah, so just like a lot of Hammer-based music production in the studio. That's not true. No, he's a really awesome, lovely person who listens to all my crazy ideas and just so easy to work with. And we've made really, really cool stuff like over the last year, which I'm really excited about and hopefully can do more of this coming year.
Well, we're so thrilled to have you as part of our sort of extended family. And I stuttered there. I didn't mean to say extended 7 times because it really imbued it with a distance and arm's reach that I did
I do live very far away. So
That's true. Fair. Physically
across
extended,
all of those
certainly.
Ponds.
But you know? Oh my God, Montaigne, when we do get down there to or over there, it's kind of down. It's basically down. So it's a perspective, isn't it? But when we get down there, we'll do a show. We'll do a show together. It's going to be great.
Oh, that would be amazing. Going to say really quickly as well, I recently did an interview for the Mardi Gras event with Courtney Act, who's this amazing drag queen. And the interview was done on top of the Harbour Bridge. And what was so funny to me was like entering the facility where they like host the Harbour Bridge climbs and stuff like that. They have all these pictures of like all these celebrities who've done the bridge climb. And I forgot like how much of a staple of like tourism and like celebrities visiting Australia that was, like doing the bridge climb. Cause like everyone, like the village people had a photo there, and like Danny Radcliffe when he was 11, and like all these people. It was very funny. Anyway, you guys go do the bridge climb as well.
Can I climb a bridge?
Sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
We got a bridge here that, Montaigne.
All right, Brad.
Over
we've all got bridges.
It's over the New River. It's in West Virginia. It's over the New River Gorge, which is just a massive thing. Very deep hole. Like many gorges, it's a deep hole. And it's weird. The weirdest thing about it is there's this thing called Bridge Day, where for one this is gonna sound not real. For one day it's legal to jump off the bridge.
It's like the Purge, but very localized.
To be clear, jump off the bridge like with a parachute.
Yeah,
and
with
jump
a parachute or base jump or whatever your flavor is. But there's just, I don't know how, I just wish I had been there when it started. So he's like, "Okay, everybody, I have an announcement to make. As sheriff, everyone can jump off the bridge today.
Now
no
stop
problem.
Asking."
That's really funny. That's great.
Thank you so much for being with us, and thanks for the help, and thanks for writing our song. Where can people find more Montaigne?
Oh man, so many places. There's obviously, like you said, like my music streams on Spotify, but also, you know, Apple Music and YouTube and all that stuff. I also Twitch stream, and I like make music live on my Twitch often. I haven't streamed for a while just because I've been so tanked with like Eurovision stuff, but me and my partner also sometimes just play games, and I also have a Discord. If anyone wants to join the Discord, it's a really wholesome, lovely place. We mostly just send each other pictures of like our animals. Gosh, what else? I think that's kind of it. And it, like, if you live in Australia or in Sydney, you'll probably see me around on the street because I've got the brightest head visible from all kinds of kilometers away.
Nice.
All right. Thank you so much. Enjoy the rest of your morning, night, afternoon.
Afternoon.
Fantastic.
Nice one. Third time's a charm. Norris, thank you guys for having me so much.
Hey, guys, real quick before we wrap up, I just shared a link in the Slack. I want you guys to look at this tweet because just real quick, I want you to think about what the implications of this are. I've never watched The Masked Singer before, but apparently it was revealed that the giant snail contained, a celebrity, and it was this really weird reveal. And then the celebrity and the giant snail, when you guys see it, just say it out loud.
Hey.
Are you kidding me with this? This is so unfair. Spoilers for The Masked Singer, but the giant snail was Kermit the Frog.
What does that mean?
What does that mean? Hey, how is anybody supposed to fucking guess that?
What does that mean?
But
Kermit the Frog.
Who's Kermit? Known?
Yes, thank you. But it wasn't Kermit. It was the person. It was.
That's nothing. I'm so fucking furious. But hey, you got us talking, didn't you, Holly Weird?
Fuck. You got us again.
Thank you so much for listening to our program. We hope you've enjoyed yourself. We know that we've enjoyed doing a show for you. And just wanted to say, we got a book about podcasting called Everybody Has a Podcast Except You. If you want to learn how to podcast or just want to read a funny book by some brothers,
yeah,
then go for it. Also, I want to say that my brother Travis McElroy has a Twitch channel. I streamed an FMV game with him last week. As you're listening to this, I'm sure we'll do it again. It's a really fun channel, and he's got a good energy. A fun watch.
Yeah.
Thank you. It's twitch.tv/TheTravisMcElroy.
I can't go on. I got banned from Twitch for playing a whole Beyonce record.
Yeah. Well, I'll sneak you on.
Okay.
Just don't do it again.
I'll try not to. Hey, we got a new graphic novel coming out July called The Adventure Zone Crystal Kingdom. It's the fourth adaptation of our D&D podcast goof show. And you can pre-order it right now at theadventurezonecomic.com. It would be real cool if you did that.
Well, there's also, as we've repeatedly said, the pandemic will be completely over.
Mm-hmm.
By the time that book comes out, and you'll be able to read it in large gatherings.
Shoulder to shoulder with your friends.
Shoulder to shoulder, no masks in the trash. It will have fixed COVID by the time it is released. Yes. So that's huge.
We're so excited about that.
Something to look forward to.
We have some cool merch over at macromerch.com. Pin of the month. It's Sausage to Me, benefiting Feeding Texas. We got the Empty Bowl pin, which is designed by Samuel Reardon. We got the 20 Big Dog Run pin, designed by Mel Westfall. All that over there and more. Macromerch.com. Thank you to Maximum Fun, our podcast home. Thank you to all you for listening and supporting our show.
Sure. And thank you to Montaigne for the new theme song.
Yeah.
It's, a real bopper, and thank you also, Montaigne, for being on the show. That's two thankses for Montaigne. Go listen to all of Montaigne's music right now. If you enjoyed the theme song, you've never really dove in to Montaigne's catalog, you are a fucking lucky duck, my friend.
Yeah,
because there's a lot of good stuff waiting for you. Hey, do you want the final?
Yes, please.
Okay, this final Yahoo was sent in by Graham Roebuck. Thank you, Graham. It's asked by Yahoo Answers user Sprimbles Jackhammer,
mm-hmm.
who asks, how many hot dogs is too many to eat before mouth surgery?
My name is Justin McElroy.
I'm Travis McElroy.
I'm Griffin McElroy.
This has been My Brother, Me. Kiss your dad square on the lips.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Audience supported.